This is special coverage on the Park Fire from North State Public Radio. We've been covering the air quality in the North State today due to the Park Fire. Earlier today, we heard from Jason Manley with the Butte County Air Quality Management District, but it's also a concern for public health. While Tehama and Shasta counties have seen the worst air quality since the fire, Butte County is also seeing some unhealthy air quality. Earlier today, NSPR's Adia White spoke with Lisa Almaguer, spokesperson for the Butte County Public Health Department. She starts by talking about the dangers of wildfire smoke.
Often when we see fire events happening, whether they're here in Butte County or in neighboring counties, we do experience a wildfire smoke event. And wildfire smoke contains materials that are harmful to your health, that can cause health issues. These air pollutants include particulate matter, carbon monoxide, and ozone. And particulate matter can trigger respiratory problems and worsen things like asthma.
So who needs to be extra cautious when there is a significant amount of smoke in the air?
People at increased risk for wildfire smoke inhalation include young children, older adults, pregnant women, people with respiratory and heart conditions, people who work outside, and people experiencing homelessness.
So then are there prolonged health impacts from this? Like, for example, you know, some folks might just take a walk for an hour outside versus people who are outside all of the time. What are some of the differences in terms of the danger of smoke?
So exposure to wildfire smoke can cause a variety of symptoms, including irritated eyes, persistent cough, runny nose, wheezing, and difficulty breathing. And these can be different for different people. It's important that if anyone is experiencing chest pain or chest tightness or shortness of breath, that they seek immediate medical care. And staying hydrated by drinking water often can help reduce the symptoms that I listed previously. But there's many other things that people can do to reduce wildfire smoke and exposure.
And what other things can people do to reduce their exposure and their risk level?
So one of the most important things that people can do to reduce their exposure to wildfire smoke is to limit their time outside. If they have to be outside, wear a well-fitting N95 mask. It is important to note that the N95 masks are not appropriate for children and that wearing a mask can also cause breathing difficulties for people with lung or heart conditions. So they should consult their healthcare provider if they're considering wearing an N95. And then the other things that people can do is stay indoors as much as possible and adjust your air conditioning to avoid drawing in smoky air. You can do this by setting your air to the recirculate setting. Also reducing other sources of indoor air pollution, such as smoking or vaping, frying foods, lighting candles or incense, vacuuming, things like that. And then, of course, reschedule or reduce any outdoor physical activity.
So, you know, of course, there's always some things that people have to do outside. For example, if you have a dog, you might have to take your dog for a walk. So it sounds like it's okay to be outside for a short amount of time, but really to reduce that amount of time as much as possible. Is that fair to say?
For most people, it's okay to be outside for a short amount of time. And again, if they are, you know, older kids, teenagers, or adults, they should wear an N95 mask. Again, anyone who has any underlying health conditions should consult with their healthcare provider.
That was Lisa Almaguer, spokesperson for the Butte County Public Health Department, speaking with NSPR's Adia White. Moving to Forest Ranch, many residents there do not have access to drinkable water following the fire. Some have had their water shut off entirely, while others are under a boil advisory. That's because the water could be contaminated by benzene, a carcinogen released from superheated pipes. But the water can't be tested until the system has been active for 3 days. Water operator John Graham contracts with providers in the area. He says the shutoffs are to prepare the water for testing.
The requirement is that the system lay dormant for 72 hours prior to sample collection. And we notified the customers in both systems late Tuesday night, and we will be collecting the water samples on Thursday night. So the reason that their services have been turned off is to allow that no-flow state that's required by the testing parameters. That's to allow the presence of any benzene that's attached itself to the, could have attached itself to the inside of the water mains to leach out into the water that's going to be sampled. So it provides for a representative sample of what is in the distribution system.
Graham says the water will also be tested for other contaminants.
We will be collecting bacteriological samples at the same time because both systems were depressurized for periods of time, and there's a requirement to test for total coliform and E. coli bacteria. As soon as we turn the water services back on for sampling, the residents in those areas will be able to use the water for flushing toilets, et cetera, but not for consumption. We will be issuing a do not drink order at that time until we get the benzene sample results back. If we get the non-detection on benzene and the total coliform E. coli results are absent, then the system will be able to be restored to normal function.
The testing requirements are outlined by state policy that was passed last year.
In October of 2023, Governor Newsom signed California Assembly Bill 541, which added a section to the Health and Safety Code. The section was 116596. That required public water systems that experience a wildfire event of 300 acres or more and experience damage or destruction of structures connected to the public water system to test for the presence of benzene in the distribution system.
If those state-mandated tests show benzene or bacterial contamination in the system, then Graham says water providers will have a lot of work to do to make the water drinkable again.
The easiest problem to deal with would be bacteria, because we could simply flush, if necessary, maybe temporarily chlorinate the lines to disinfect them and recollect confirmation samples to ensure that the actions have eradicated any bacteria intrusion. If there is benzene, that can get a little more involved. And again, this is a new requirement. It only became effective the first of the year. So working with the County Health Department, Butte County Public Health, we are following the best guidance that they can provide, that they're receiving from the Water Board. And this is really, for us here locally, the first time we've had to do anything like this benzene testing. So if we do get a detection on benzene, there will be additional flushing, more samples, either just from the locations that we originally sampled from, or we may need to expand the sample collection to more locations. And then, you know, ultimately, if we keep getting detections, it could require some type of repair to the system, either replacement of the service lines or portions of the main. These are circumstances that occurred during the campfire and several other large fires in California, beginning with the fire several years ago in Santa Rosa. So the superheating of PVC pipe is known now to release volatile organic chemicals into the water supply.